The Apostle Peter, when preaching the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, after being asked by the multitude, men and brethren, what shall we do in verse 37? This is how he answered in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Recently, I heard a discussion pertaining to baptism, and especially to Acts 2:38, in which the following statements were made. First, and I quote, "The Church of Christ is not the only group that baptizes for the remission of sins. My wife was baptized into the Baptist Church for the remission of sins." Second statement, "If she was baptized for the remission of sins, she's just as much a Christian as anybody." Well, sincere study of the Scriptures is in order to know when Almighty God will respect baptism as being, in fact, for the remission of sins. First, we will establish the fact that scriptural baptism is for the remission of sins. To prove this point, let us hear some of the New Testament writers on this subject. Now I realize, and you realize, that there are those who will not agree with the apostles Peter, Paul, or whoever, even the Lord Jesus, they won't agree with him on this subject. However, I believe these men were inspired to speak and write as directed by God himself. I also believe that the apostle Peter had the privilege of being the first to announce the terms of salvation into the kingdom of heaven on the day of Pentecost, and I also believe that the other apostles were given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I repeat again what Peter said to the multitude on the day of Pentecost in that very first gospel sermon. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Also, I take my stand with them and encourage everyone to agree with their gospel in Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at that. Galatians chapter 1, if you would. Galatians chapter 1, we'll read verses 6 through 9. Paul wrote, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another," he says, "but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul was so adamant about this that he repeated in verse 9, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." The Apostle Peter, he commanded a great crowd of people on the first Pentecost after Christ's resurrection to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Again, Acts 2:38. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Here we see Peter commanded people to be baptized and explains that baptism doth now save us. He said baptism saves us. So brethren and friends, obedience to the commands of God will save us. Just that simple. Now turn your Bibles to Acts 22 and verse 16, another familiar passage I know you're all aware of. Acts 22 and verse 16. Here we see the Apostle Paul in relating his conversion. He said he was told by Ananias, the preacher, to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6 and look at verses 3 through 5. Most of us know this by heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, he said, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." In this reference, Paul compares the death, resurrection, and burial and resurrection of Christ with the death to sin, burial in water, and resurrection to a new life of a person in baptism. And he drives that point home by saying in verse 5, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When were Paul's sins washed away, you think? When does the alien sinner start to walk a new life? After baptism. Come with me to a familiar passage again in Mark 16:16. We know that by heart, but let's look at it anyway. Mark 16:16. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus himself said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Seems easy enough to understand, doesn't it? Seems easy enough to understand. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What's so hard about that? Seems so easy to me to understand, and I really believe that probably any second grader in Jefferson County could understand that. To say that we can be saved by obeying only the first part of his statement, which is to believe, is to say that he didn't mean the last part of his statement, which was to be baptized. Because I believe the first part, I want to obey the second part. We're pleading today for people to believe all that Jesus says. So I ask you, my dear friends, who believes all that Jesus said? They that believe only the first part of the statement in Mark 16:16, or they that believe the second part as well as the first? If 2 and 2 equals 4, and we encounter no difficulty accepting it as such, we should encounter no difficulty in accepting the fact that believing and being baptized equals salvation. Simple, isn't it? How simple God's plan of salvation is. For the person who accepts the scriptures as they are written, this should suffice as evidence that baptism is for the remission of sins. We now advance to answer the question, when is baptism for the remission of sins? When is it? Well, the word when in our question denotes time and refers to what point, what instance, or time God forgives us of our sins and we start a new life. As already shown, the Lord's church is not the only body of people that allegedly baptized for the remission of sins. Allegedly, I said. Some of them are Catholics. Catholics baptize infants, I think 8 days old. Now, there's no infant 8 days old has any sins in the first place. In second place, he couldn't repent of his sins. In first place, he can't even talk. He doesn't know he has any sins, but they baptize him anyway. The Mormons, the Baptists, the Christian Church, and the Holiness all baptize. And the Methodists, they do also, but Methodists are a little different. They're pretty easy to get along with. They tell you, we will sprinkle you, we will pour on you, or we will immerse you. Whatever you want's fine with us. And that's a fact. For me to say that their labors are in vain should come as no great shock to the sincere person that will study and accept the inspired word in its simplicity. Look at Matthew the 15th chapter now. Now it should be a simple thing for all of us to understand that it is possible to worship God in vain because Jesus said it was in Matthew 15 and verse 9. He said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So you see that it is possible to be baptized in vain. But it is not possible to be taught wrong and baptized right. Can't happen. Won't happen, period. Let's look quickly at Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. Now John did baptize in the wilderness, it says, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John the Baptist baptized for or unto the remission of sins, as in Mark 1:4 and again in Luke 3:3. Now I want us to look at Acts the 18th chapter. This is important. We've been studying this also in our Bible class. Acts the 18th chapter. Here Luke, who is the writer of Acts, explains in Acts 18, verses 24 through 19:5, that knowledge only of John's baptism isn't enough, but requires more instructions in the perfect way. Now the good historian that Luke was, he immediately gives us an account to prove that John's baptism, which was just being baptized for the remission of sins without knowledge of the law of Christ, is in vain. I want to take time to read this account together. That's Acts 18, and we'll start with verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. On this occasion, about 12 men were baptized with the baptism of John. And then they were baptized into the baptism of our Lord Jesus after they were told that John's baptism was out of date. They didn't hesitate. They didn't gripe. They didn't grumble. They didn't say why or prove it to me or anything. They heard it and they believed it and they obeyed it. After the Apostle Paul taught them the difference between John and Christ, they were baptized again in the name of, or by the authority of, and under the new law of Jesus Christ, showing once and for all the possibility of being baptized wrong and therefore the need of being baptized right. As God showed his refusal to those men, baptism through his servant Paul, you and I can rest assured that he does not accept baptism of the many religious bodies which allegedly baptize for the remission of sins, which do not accept and teach all of that Jesus says. They don't teach all of it. They teach what they want you to hear. These men have heard and obeyed the wrong doctrine, these 12 men at Ephesus. They were not baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and were therefore subject to the wrong authority. But let's go now to Colossians 3 and verse 17. This is a familiar passage too. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Brethren, to do things under the authority of Christ is to do them in His name. Being subject to the wrong authority, they have obeyed the wrong doctrine, and thereby became members of the wrong body of people. I hope you understand this. I hope you follow me. Now, these sincere men admitted their ignorance of the authority and doctrine of Christ and were happy recipients of His correction. I want to go back to the Old Testament for just a moment, to Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 when you get there. And this is so simple. Just think of what he says here. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Men cannot tell you how to get to heaven. Only the Word of God can. Denominations will not get you to heaven. And they're all started by mere men. Every one of them. The person that has been baptized into the Baptist church, the Christian church, or any other church other than the Lord's church should be taught more perfectly the laws of Christ that he can understand, and his will, and be moved to obey it. I hope he would. He should be moved to obey it when he is taught the perfect way. Such baptisms are in vain. Denominational baptisms are in vain because of these following reasons. When we admit that we have been baptized to any group or church other than the Lord's body, the Church of Christ, we at that same time claim that we did not know at the time of our baptism that the Heavenly Father's book teaches only one doctrine and there is only one church to be added to. Please listen. Obedience to the wrong doctrine will not put you into the right church. When a person having received a denominational baptism allegedly for the remission of sins and refuses to be baptized correctly, it is sufficient evidence that the person still does not understand the one doctrine and the one true church. Now I want you to understand what I'm about to say. To accept such a person into the Lord's church, there's a person that is one who has been baptized into a denominational church. To accept such a person into the Lord's church without him being baptized for the remission of his sins is to sanction and accept the fruits of false preachers and accept something that God has refused. In other words, if you were baptized into the Baptist church and you come into this congregation, you want to become a member of this congregation, we tell you what you need to do to be saved. And he says, I've already been baptized. Where were you baptized? The Baptist church. Was you baptized for what? The remission of sins? Or to be a member of the Baptist church? Most likely he'll say to be a member of the Baptist church, or he might say both. There are some churches of the Lord's church that I've heard of, and one I used to preach at, I haven't done it in years there, they accepted a person that was baptized into the Christian church. They left that church and came over to the Lord's church, and the people there accepted his baptism. And a good friend of mine who was one of the leaders of that church quit that church that day. He left it because it's wrong. Turn to Acts 2 again, please. In Acts 2 and verse 41. We read that they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. Now, if you would just drop down to Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There was only one church then. There was no denominations. There was only one church, the Lord's church. 1,600 years later before the first Protestant denomination of church started. Did you know that the Baptist church was started by a man named John Smith in Holland in 1607? Did you know that the Methodist church was started by a man named John Wesley in England in 1739? You may not know this, but the Christian church was started in America in 1908, just a little over 100 years old. It is barely over 100 years old. So I'm going to ask you, do you honestly believe by being baptized in a church a little over 100 years can save you? You know, use some common sense. It can't happen. Now these passages, there's two passages I want us to look at. One is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, and Colossians 1:18. But let's go first to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23. These passages teach that the Lord's church is his body. Simple. The Lord's church is his body. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is his body. Now let's go to Colossians 1:18. Paul wrote to the Colossians, and he wrote this to them, Colossians 1 and verse 18. He said, basically the same thing he said in Ephesians 1. Colossians 1:18, he said, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, his church. There's only one church he's head of. Wouldn't he be an awful looking thing if he had one head, which most of them say that Christ started? And about 2,000 bodies? Don't make sense to think about it. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 7. These passages state that there is only one body and one baptism. There's no sprinkling, pouring, or whatever. There's only one baptism. Listen to it. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 4. He said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's immersion. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. You remember what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13? He says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, he says. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. One body, his church, the church of Christ. If we fully understand Ephesians 5 and verse 17, where Paul says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If we understand this and gladly receive the gospel to obey it, it will be a pleasure of God to add us to his Son's body, the church. Again, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, Paul said, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6, if you would. One last passage. Romans 6 and verse 17. Paul says, "But God be thanked, yet you were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." He delivered it. The apostles delivered it. That's who delivered it. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through God Almighty. That's how the Bible came. So, brethren and friends, when one fully understands and obeys from the heart the form of doctrine given by Christ and preached by the apostles, that person's baptism is according to the Scriptures and is therefore acceptable with God and does, in fact, secure the remission of sins. If obedience from the heart, and if the heart includes the mind, the will, and the intellect, then it is impossible for one to be taught wrong and to be baptized right. So when all is said and done, a person who is scripturally baptized is a correctly taught, penitent believer who has confessed his faith in Jesus as the Son of God, who came unto the water, went down into the water, came up out of the water, wherein he was buried with Christ and from which he was raised to walk in newness of life. And through this process, he entered into Christ, into his one body, or the church, to which he was added upon his obedience to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. If there should be anyone here this evening who is baptized into a denomination, or anyone listening on the internet, please understand that you were only baptized so you could become a member of a denomination, and you have not, I repeat, you have not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You're not a member of the Lord's church. So don't let your ego or your pride or whatever send you to hell. You're still living in sin. So why take a chance? If you're going to err, please err on the side of the Lord. I beg you to come forward and let us baptize you into Christ. As Paul said in Galatians 3:17, he said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Brethren and friends, you must be in Christ to be saved. And there's only one way to get into Christ, and that is you're baptized into Christ. How simple that is. So please, please, be like the willing Ephesians. You remember them? The willing Ephesians, they were taught wrong, and then when they were taught right, they immediately changed. The 12 that we talked about earlier. So be like the willing Ephesians. Just take the Bible and its word and be baptized. If you wish to become a Christian, I beg you to come forward. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized, immersed in water. It don't hurt, does it, Eric? It doesn't hurt. We got clean clothes. We got warm water. We beg you not to leave this building in an unsaved condition. If there's any here this evening who have maybe strayed from the Lord, done some things that you're not real proud of, if you've repented to God, please, and you've done it publicly, please come forward and we'll pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be on that road that leads to heaven. Brother Bill, lead us in our final song. Please stand as Bill leads us in our final song.